Hi.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, you sound so much better now.
All right. I just disconnected from my apartment's Wi-Fi because apparently I don't know what I'm paying them for.
I guess not.
Mm-hmm. How is everyone? How are the boys? It has been a minute.
Dude, I've forgotten what hockey is. Like, is it pucks or something?
Well, so boys, I went and listened to our last podcast over just because I wanted to see kind of like what we had talked about to like, you know, so we can fill in the gaps from like when we, from the last time we recorded to now. And first off, we just sound fantastic. All of our jokes are just so funny. So honestly, I don't know how we haven't blown up yet. That was my first takeaway. My second takeaway is, wow, we have not recorded for a while.
It's been, what, two-ish months or something like that?
Yes, something like that. So what's new, boys? Let's get, before we even talk about hockey, what's new with you guys?
Oh, yo, I'm moving.
Okay, yeah. Where are you moving?
About 10 minutes away from where I currently live.
Cool, good stuff.
Yeah, but, you know, going to be out in the countryside, out away from the big city.
That'll be nice. Mm-hmm. What about you, Chris? What's new in the life, pal?
Really, not much. Sorry to bore you, but we're really getting off to a poor start here, by the way.
No.
Mike? What's new in your life? How's post year at university treating you?
It's going okay. So since we've had the podcast, I have had a variety of different jobs. If you remember when we started, I used to complain about coming home smelling like maple syrup and eggs. And tasty. Then it went to, I am so tired because I close at night and I smell like tacos.
Ooh, I'm liking this more and more.
Well, now I am still tired because I work early, not overnight. I'm on my third job, and I come home smelling like nothing because I work at a grocery store.
Oh, that's boring. You need to find a new job, man.
Yeah, something that smells better, right?
Yeah, like maybe a butcher shop or something like that.
Good stuff. And I am also moving.
Oh, where are you moving to?
5 minutes down the road, but I guess the big shift is I'm moving from an apartment with 3 random other people I live with to with my girlfriend.
Wow.
Serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which Chris has met now. Chris,
she's amazing.
Chris came up and had dinner with us, so that was exciting. So Dalton, it's your turn next.
Oh, you know, I have an open offer. If anybody wants to pay for the flight, you know, I'll come on down.
We should start a GoFundMe.
We should.
I'm just trying to figure out our sales pitch for that. Don't know how that go across.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, do you guys want to get into hockey? Are you guys ready?
I don't know. I kind of want to learn something about, you know, Chris's life for a little bit. You know, what kind of breakfast did you have this morning, Chris?
That's a good question.
I don't eat breakfast.
Oh, smart man. Me neither.
Yeah. I also did not eat breakfast.
Yeah, too much brownie action.
Yeah. I got a sweet tooth. What can I say?
I'm just glad that wasn't code for something very offensive.
Yeah. I think mentioning it that you're glad that it wasn't makes it offensive.
Yeah, but like I have no responsibility, so it's
that's
fine.
That's true. So I opened up my little notebook that I keep like little just tabs of what I want to talk about and stuff like that. And there was one thing written under this podcast, which is, oh, well, welcome to South of the Blue Line, everyone. If you couldn't tell, that's what this is. Episode 27. And I only had one thing written down on the page, and that is the last hockey thing we needed to talk about or did talk about. And it's just titled Jets Eliminated.
Ooh, does the sting a little less now that Chris, or is it still pretty bad?
The thing is, when it's expected, it really doesn't kind of hurt that much. Kind of like, you know, the Oilers making the playoffs. I mean, you don't expect it to happen, right? So when it doesn't happen, you're like, well, it sucks, but I'm used to it. So I just didn't, you know, it was obvious the Jets weren't going to do anything in the playoffs last year. They had no chemistry. There's some shit going on. And so, I mean, the fact that they got eliminated by the Stanley Cup champion, I guess it's okay, but they still did not play well.
That is a good segue, actually. The Blues won the Stanley Cup. If y'all are listening to this and you didn't know that, you live under a rock. So, Chris, are you one of those people that, like, and you feel better about it that your team got eliminated by the winner?
No.
Or, no. But in the finals, who are you guys cheering for?
So, don't hate me, but I was cheering for Boston.
Oh, fuck.
I hate you. Jesus, Dalton.
Dude, I just thought Boston deserved to win.
No, they didn't. Boston, the city of Boston, doesn't deserve anything for the next, like, 100 years.
Did you see their fans? They were going through clinical depression, man. It was, like, four months.
Dude, there was a billboard I saw. Somebody posted a billboard, and it was like, kids born in the last 140 days don't know what it's like to win a championship. And I'm like, ugh.
No, but I actually like Boston, and I like their play style significantly more than I like St. Louis's. So that's kind of...
So dirty.
Well, actually, if I go for the dirty thing, I'd probably pick the team that has two enforcers as their head coach.
Well, yeah, but Bruce Cassidy looks like a Bond villain.
So. Oh, you got me, dude.
But were you guys? I mean, first of all, I'd like to say that was probably the best Stanley Cup final series as like a whole series in like the last 3-4 years.
In my opinion, yeah, I don't know if I can agree with you just because I wasn't all that emotionally invested in it.
True, but like I'm talking about from like a hockey stamp, from like the play of hockey. Like it went the full seven. The teams were super close. Goaltending was great. It was back. It was forth. It was hard grinding hockey, skilled hockey. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun watching it.
I think I like the Tampa one from a couple years ago a little bit better, just because of the terrible, terrible collapse that Tampa had. But it was some good hockey. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you boys cheering for? I'm guessing St. Louis.
Yeah, I was going for St. Louis. And Chris, you?
The Winnipeg Jets. Sorry, guys, that's the way I am. I mean, I was – so first of all, I was drunk in the Bahamas during the entire Stanley Cup Finals. But I did manage to catch some of the games on the ship, and I will agree with Mike. I thought the games were – like, usually by the Stanley Cup final, I feel like the teams are so worn down that the game becomes a little bit more methodical, almost like a chess match. But this year, the pace was absolutely frenetic. It was just, man, I don't know. It was an insane series from what I saw, the games I saw.
Yeah, it was just, like, super hard-fought back and forth. And I love watching, like, that back and forth style hockey.
Yeah. I think it's probably
left and right.
We'll get used to it. We'll get used to it. We'll get back into it. You know, we're still we're using muscles that haven't been used in a while, so there's a little bit of soreness.
Like Dalton's penis.
Oh, God. See, this is why I tagged the episodes as explicit.
Wait. These are explicit? Holy shit,
yes,
dude.
I've been
PGing myself this entire time.
No, I didn't realize this, but so Anchor has been, since we've been doing it, have been obviously updating their systems and all that stuff and their user-friendly stuff. So eventually I was uploading the podcast one day and it was like a clean or explicit. And I was like, oh, and I went back and I clicked explicit on for all of them.
I don't feel like that's very advertiser-friendly though.
Sorry, guys.
It's okay. We're almost at $4, so I think the advertisers are doing just fine.
All right.
Anyway, just to kind of wrap up the Stanley Cup, because we've already passed the draft and all that good stuff, Ryan O'Reilly wins the Conn Smythe, and I think deserved. I think really the only other person you could maybe make an argument for is Binnington.
Yeah.
Or maybe Pietrangelo.
I would probably give it to Parenko third, but that's...
Parenko, okay.
Yeah. But honestly, I kind of thought Tuukka Rask should have won it, even though the Blues won.
Oh, so you wanted a J.S. Jaguar situation.
Dude, I'd pay for that kind of shit.
I disagree. He needed to be better in certain times, and he wasn't.
Which is why I think that the voters agreed with you. Like, I think...
I think it should have been Binnington, to be honest, but...
Yeah, that was my kind of St. Louis vote as well.
Yeah, and I have a soft spot for goalies, so I thought it would have been cool if Binnington had won it as well.
Here's an interesting question, though. Do you guys think that Binnington is going to keep it up next year? Is he going to be lights out once again, or is this kind of a flash in the pan?
Ugh. Goalies are fucking voodoo, man.
Right.
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to predict. I mean, listen, he seems like the kind of guy that doesn't really, like, once he knows that he can do it, like, once he knows that he can do it and his confidence is there, his confidence is never really going to break. If you just, like, watch all his interviews, he's kind of an asshole. So I feel like that sort of mentality might lend itself towards him continuing to be good.
And I'm going to disagree with that because I think that at his age, breaking in so late and his situation before lends to the thought that maybe he was playing above his skill level.
Yeah, I think I'm going to kind of agree with Chris, but I'm more of a moderate in this. Like, I think he's going to stay as a starter for the Blues, but I don't think he's going to be this kind of season. It's going to be like kind of almost a Matt Murray situation.
That's what I was thinking. I was definitely like thinking comparables as a Matt Murray.
Mm-hmm. But the comparables with Murray, I think, are a little bit off just because of how much younger Murray was. But yeah, I'm thinking like he's going to be just an average starter next year.
Well, you also see that in the playoffs, like people like a bunch of like that's how you have the people that like don't do anything during the regular season and then score 11 goals in the playoffs sort of thing. Like there's just like the playoffs bring like that sort of magic and like the ability to like punch above your weight, I guess, in a lot of different players,
a.k.a. Patty Maroon.
The big rip. And then can we talk about their celebration? I personally like the Capitals like post win celebrations a lot more. I mean, swimming in fountains and stuff is a lot more fun. But St. Louis was going bananas.
They know how to party, that's for sure.
They do. It looked incredible. I'd like to give a quick shout out to my 10-year-old cousin Charlie, who had a Tarasenko jersey, and his mom said that if the Blues won the cup, he'd get a Binnington jersey. So he is now the proud owner of a Jordan Binnington jersey.
Oh, what a lucky guy.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say about the finals, boys?
No.
All right.
I don't think the Blues will be back.
I don't think so either. But congratulations to the Blues. I think it's incredible like what they did, being able to go from dead last in December to the Cup is pretty impressive.
It's definitely a good story.
Chris, anything else on that?
No.
All right. Perfect. Then let's talk about the Oilers, because that's what we've all been waiting to do.
Chris, mostly.
Last time on the podcast, the Oilers were GM-less, head coachless, and today, we now have the answers for you. They bring in Ken Holland, and it was actually interesting because on last podcast we were talking about Steve Yzerman taking over in Detroit, and at that time Ken Holland was still just like was still on staff as like a senior.
Senior advisor. Senior,
yeah, what is, you know, they, where they like to shove the old guys. is brought in to be the GM, and Dave Tippett is brought on to be the head coach. So lots of stuff happening. And Dalton, how do you feel about it?
I am cautiously optimistic, which is basically the equivalent of saying, we're going to win the cup next year, plan the parade, let's go, boys.
Yes. Yes. Were you more excited about the Haaland signing or the Tippett signing?
The cautiously really comes into play when we're talking about Tippett. He's done good stuff with some teams. People think he's a little bit more defensively minded, but he's shown that he can be adaptable, which is nice. So I'm really kind of on the fence there.
And I've heard he's a great communicator, which us millennials need.
Yes, because we only text each other our feelings.
In emojis.
Well, of course. What am I, a freaking heathen?
Right.
But the Ken Holland one, I'm very, very positive on.
Awesome. Chris, seeing this news, how do you feel about this?
I think it's perfect. I think it's exactly what the Oilers need. I mean, I think the team has often underscored for what they've had for players, but I think the big challenge has always been defensively. So Tippett's going to help with that for sure.
I'm super pumped. Here's the thing that I look at it. Tippett, Hitchcock, and McCullen are all good coaches. And you can give really any coach the roster that we gave them, and they're not going to do much better than the last guy. So Tippett, I'm excited about, but he needs more options. Like, he needs a good team to work with. And that's where I am very excited about Haaland. And not because, listen, Haaland was a fantastic GM for the Red Wings for a long time. But I'm more excited just the fact that he comes into the Oilers organization with his own, like, clout. Like, before, like I felt like, you know, with all the ex-Oilers that are around, he's, like, they bring in some GM that's, like, maybe not unproven, but, like, bring in a guy like Peter Chiarelli who, like, doesn't have as much clout or rank, and they're kind of able to, like, bully him around. Whereas Ken Holland, you come in here and be like, I am Ken Holland, and I'm not going to listen to any of you. And you've seen that over the last few weeks as he's, like, sent Craig McTavish to Russia and fired all the other, like, and fired Paul Coffey and all the assistant coaches.
And kept Todd Woodcroft, thank God.
Yes, and Jay Woodcroft, yeah. So,
thank you.
So I think just the fact that him coming in is able to kind of kill the shadow council that the Oilers have is a win in itself.
I do like that you think there's this giant conspiracy to make the Oilers bad is kind of what you're bringing up
well,
here.
Well, no, it's not like to make them bad, but just like to make it the way they want to do it, which happens to be bad because they're bad at their jobs.
Yet they're good enough to make a shadow council.
I'm just telling you, man. Like, I'm telling you, there is the Red Wine Summit. There is a shadow council. I promise you.
There's spies everywhere, man. I'm not paranoid.
I'm in the corner of my apartment with a tinfoil hat on.
They can't listen to my brainwaves anymore, man.
Exactly.
McDavid's gonna put up 120.
He is. Anything else we want to say on that?
I mean, free agency's coming up here in 3 days, I guess. So it'll be interesting to see how Ken Holland manages that, and hopefully he can pick up one winger for McDavid to play with.
That's all we're asking, really. It's just one.
Yeah, just somebody, please.
Mm-hmm. How is the Oilers cap right now?
Oh, God, it's terrible, dude. Especially with the cap not going up.
We will get there. Yeah, the cap didn't go up, but we will get there. I've got tabs open, so I think we can move on to, like, more pressing news. I just thought we needed to backtrack a little bit and recap, and now we can get to, like, the more recent stuff. We're going to start with everyone's favorite topic, the NHL Awards.
Yay.
I'm going to leave for this segment, and we'll come back when it's over.
All right. Did any of you guys watch it?
I did not. Nope.
Fuck no.
Yeah, no, not a chance, man.
So I can just do just quick hits with you guys. Hart Trophy, Nikita Kucherov, yay or nay?
Nay, should have been McDavid.
I agree. Then there is Mark Messier Leadership Award, Wayne Simmons. Yay or nay?
It's okay. A weird one. Didn't he get traded, like, at the trade deadline?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did he lead? He showed how shitty a team could be, and he led them to the depths of hell? Is that what it is? Fuck that shit.
Well-deserved, well-deserved.
Vesna
Trophy. So I'm going to
cut Vasilevsky. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to cut you off for 1 second, and I'm going to say this is why the NHL awards are shit. Because they pick idiots to win it.
Yeah. At least they had a good presenter guy this year.
Yeah, they had the guy from SNL.
Yeah, which is like...
Go ahead, sorry. I keep cutting you off.
It's okay, I can't hear you anyway, so it's good. And he threw some pretty nice jabs at the Lightning, so you can always appreciate that.
Yeah, I saw some of his little highlights on Twitter from the awards, and he did not hold back. I was surprised the NHL let him kind of go to town like that.
I'm glad they did, at least a little bit of entertainment from the awards.
Yeah, it's better than last year when they had that magician guy that kept messing up all his tricks.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Most mismanaged fucking league in the world. I swear to God.
Hey, they're trying their best. Well, they're trying like semi-hard, okay?
Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. Vezina Trophy, Andrei Vasilevsky. It's hard not to look at that and be like, yeah, but what happened in the playoffs, though?
Yeah.
But, like, he had an incredible regular season, so, like, it's hard to not give it to anyone else.
And also, the voting's done before the playoffs, don't forget.
Oh, right, that's right. I know, but just as as a fan, like, I see that, and it's like, Vasilevsky won the Vezina, I'm like, okay.
after the playoffs.
Yeah.
Most important part of the entire fucking season. So why would you leave that out? Because you're stupid because you're the NHL.
Because then the Oilers don't get to win awards. God, Chris, pay attention.
They've won so many.
Jack Adams goes to Barry Trotz.
I'm going to give that one the yay.
Yeah, I'm gonna give that one a yay as well. Selke goes to Ryan O'Reilly.
I'm giving that like a yay, but I was surprised that he won it. TBH.
Yeah, I'm surprised he beat out Barkov, and I'm even more surprised that he beat out Bergeron.
Yeah, I mean, you could have given it to any one of those guys, and I'd be like, yeah, okay, makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Ryan O'Reilly had himself a year.
Yeah. When's his contract up? A couple of years, I think. Right.
Yeah, he's got a minute.
It's too bad. I want to see him make bank.
Yeah. Bill Masterton goes to Robin Leonard. And I saw his speech when he won his award was really good. He's pretty open about his mental health issues. As someone who is in a relationship with someone who deals with stuff like that, it's cool to hear him talk about it, and if you haven't watched his speech on it, you should. It's really good.
Yeah, and from the hockey side of it as well, it's nice to see the Masterton go to somebody who is a very prominent player in the NHL.
Yeah.
Not just to, like, no offense, anybody's won it before, but, like, Brian Boyle is kind of like a third to fourth liner when he won it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyways.
Norris Trophy goes to Mark Giordano.
Boo.
Yeah. Ted Lindsay goes to Kucherov as well. I don't know what the players were smoking, but I think they all need to go back and watch their highlight reels of every time McDavid crushed them all. But whatever, not salty.
McDavid should have won every award, whatever.
Yeah. Lady, and then there's like some ones that I don't really know what they're for. Lady Bing goes to Barkov.
Most gentlemanly player.
Sure. And then the Calder goes to Elias Patterson.
Yay.
Yeah, I mean, but Binnington, though.
Yeah, but also, like Elias Patterson, though. These are good arguments.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, boys, do we want to talk about drafts or trades?
Hold on.
Oh, okay.
I want to say one last thing about the awards before we go on.
Oh, God.
It is laughable that the NHL has one defenseman award. There should be an offensive defenseman award, a defensive defenseman award, and an overall defenseman award. The fact that PK Subban can win the Norris is laughable and disgusting. I mean, I know that's going back, but still, I still think it's a joke.
Oh, I didn't realize you're a racist, Chris.
I'm only racist against white guys from Alberta.
Oh, joke's on you. I'm actually half black. Anyways,
just don't go to Dalton's Instagram because he'll look like the poster child for the Aryan race.
Joke's on you again. My Instagram's private. But no, I agree with you, Chris. I think, I don't know about three awards, but there should definitely be like a split for the offensive and defensive. But I can see the third one as well.
I think we've actually talked about this a bit on the podcast. And I think I've said it on here before as well. I think you should keep the Norris as best defensive defenseman or make it best defensive defenseman and then go the Paul Coffey Award or the Bob Orr Award. Take your pick.
Or the Philip Broberg Award.
Yeah, we'll get there. Or the Lidstrom Award or whatever. Pick or make like the Lidstrom Award like the best overall defenseman and then like the Paul Coffey, whatever. But I agree. There should be like another one for offensive because that means people like Brent Burns also can't win the trophy.
Also, when is Gretzky gonna get a trophy?
Well, I mean, do we need to give Gretzky more things?
I mean, best player of all time, retired 20 years ago now. Feels like it's right around the right kind of time to give him an award.
All right, sure. We'll give him something. we could give it to the player with the most assists in the regular season.
I actually kind of like that.
Right? I mean, they got one for goals. Why not give it to someone with assists?
Yeah. And then McDavid can just win another trophy every year.
Well, so what I'm saying is that gives a chance for McDavid to lead with, like, 7 awards this coming season.
Mm, break all kinds of records.
Exactly. Maybe even switch his position to defense for, like, a game or two, have him win those awards, too.
I don't know how he's going to win the Vezina, but we'll figure it out.
All right, so guys, do we want to transition to trades or draft? Because I have the first round draft up on my laptop, and then I have the Jets and Oilers like specific drafts up, and then I have elite prospects up next to it all, so I can look people up for you, and then I have trade tracker up, so I'm ready.
I think we should probably do the draft first because, like, most of the trades happened after the draft, I think.
Okay. So we'll just start with the first round, and then we can do, like, Jets and then Oilers. That sound good for everyone?
Yeah.
All right. So first round, New Jersey Devils go first. They take Jack Hughes. Not a surprise, though I will say I thought Capo Caco made a really good push for it at the World Championship.
Hey, do you want to hear a rumor that I came up with all by myself?
Yes, I'm ready. Let's hear it.
Jack Hughes is actually a psychopath.
Okay.
Yeah, have you seen his interviews?
No, I haven't.
This man sounds like he's Ted Bundy.
Oh, no. Why?
He's actually, like, and it's, like, in all the right ways he sounds like Ted Bundy. Like, he's super charismatic, so charming, and I kind of feel like he's going to take someone behind a dumpster and murder them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess you heard it here first, folks.
I mean, if he ends up being a serial killer, all I'm saying is I called it. That's it. And please don't kill me.
That's a good follow-up. Then New York Rangers take Capo Caco. I thought Capo, like I said, Capo Caco had a first unreal name, like top tier name, just in general. And then I thought he had a really good world championship. Chicago Blackhawks take Kirby Doc, third overall. I'm going to be honest. I don't know anything about him.
I think it was, I think Turcotte was ranked number three, right? Going in?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, and then Colorado, using the pick they got from Ottawa, took Bowen Byram, who's a defenseman.
So who would you rather have, Brady Tkachuk or Bowen Byram?
Well, I guess we will have to see. Then fifth overall, LA takes Alex Turcotte. Sixth overall, with, I guess, a curveball, the Detroit took Moritz Seider.
Oh, here's some fun trivia for you. He was the only German taken in the entire draft.
Oh, interesting, interesting. I have a premonition about Moritz Seider. And I have a premonition that Yzerman joins the Red Wings. Yzerman is a confirmed practitioner of black magic with some of the contracts signed in Tampa.
Literally a wizard god.
And Moritz Seider is his most recent creation and is going to win the Norris.
Oh, with that. Are you thinking that he's the second superhuman German player growing out of the lab after Leon Draisaitl?
I think so. I think that Yzerman funded it, like, for himself.
I mean, he's got a lot of capital from a lot of playing time.
Yeah.
Probably a maniac because, you know, he's too smart. So, honestly, like, logically, this all makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So, seventh overall, Buffalo takes Dylan Cousins. Eighth overall, Oilers take Philip Broberg. Interesting pick.
I kind of love it.
See, I was the other way. Why did we take more defensemen?
Well, I mean, okay, so if you're going to take a forward there, who would you take? Cole Caulfield?
Either Caulfield or the guy taken right after, Zegras.
Zegras, I kind of wanted the Oilers to take him as well. I can understand why they didn't, and that's he's not going to be NHL ready next year. Neither is Caulfield. Almost guaranteed, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
So you're trying to look for a couple years down the line, and I think Ken Holland's kind of looking a couple years down the line at his next, you know, his top pairing of being Broberg and Bouchard for like the next 10 years.
Oof, be still my beating heart. That would be a sexy top line, wouldn't it?
Especially if Broberg actually develops a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's fast, though. He's fast.
He is fast. Then Anaheim at 9 takes Zegras, Canucks at 10, Pod Colson. Coyotes, Soderstrom, Wild, Boldy, Panthers, Spencer Knight, the first goalie taken in the draft, 13th overall. Flyers, the Flyers and Coyotes flipped, actually, their picks. Flyers take York. Montreal Canadiens take Cole Caulfield, who fell to 15th, which was kind of interesting. Yeah. Krebs taken by Vegas. Harley takes this goes to the Stars. Senators take Thompson. Blah 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 blah. And then the 20th overall pick that the Rangers sent to Winnipeg in a trade that we have yet to talk about. They pick Ville Heinonen. Heinola.
Is he Finnish?
He is Finnish.
Fuck, of course he's Finnish.
Chris, how do you feel about your newest addition to Winnipeg?
I love it. I think this guy's played in a men's league, so he's more ready to join the team, which is something that we need, especially, you know, with where we are in our development window. We don't want to wait 3 years for someone to start playing. So I think, you know, with him and Vessi coming to play probably next year, depending on what other moves the Jets make, it's going to, I think, make it more comfortable for Patrick Laine. And I don't know about Nikku, to be honest with you. I know a lot of Winnipeg fans are really high on him, but I'm not sure if he's going to be ever more than a bottom pairing defenseman with some power play specialty time. But we'll see.
And I mean, you need those kind of guys as well. It's, you know,
yeah, sure. For sure.
Not everybody can be, Jakob Trouba.
Oh, thank God.
I'm just trying to find his stats. Which I cannot do because Elite Prospects hates me. Well, Chris, while we have you here, we're just going to keep going. So 20th overall pick, they take Ville Heinola. Then they take 51st overall in the second round. You guys got Simon Lundmark, another defenseman. You know anything about him, Chris?
Is he Swedish?
We need to get some Swedish balance into the lineup. You can't have too many Finns because then they'll start saunas and eat weird fish.
Yeah, but you can't get like a 50-50 split though because then it'll just be war.
They'll fucking fight each other all the time.
Yeah, it's like Canadians and Americans, man.
Well, we are very American heavy, so we've got enough of those. I think we draft another American. I'm not sure.
Then you guys took at 113th in the fourth round, Henry Nikkanen. Then at 134th overall, Harrison Blaisdell, and then 144th, Logan Neaton. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 picks. Chris, how do you feel like the Jets did, on draft day? Are you, like, happy with the haul?
Chris, are you dead?
Chris has been murdered. Call the police.
Oh, God. I was right. He is a serial killer.
It's Jack Hughes.
Sorry, Jack Hughes was here. I had to answer the door. So my philosophy on draft is I've used to spend a lot of time analyzing the players and kind of like watching them and hoping for them. But it's honestly such a crapshoot that I don't really do that as much as start watching the players a bit when they're in the development system, especially if they start to like perform well, then I really start to focus on them. So, you know, the only thing I'll say about it is I'm glad we got our first round draft pick back. And I think that the Jets amateur and pro scouting staff is really good. So I feel very comfortable with what they picked.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, Chris, because if you look at like the expected value of a draft pick, anything past the first round is basically just, a crapshoot 100%.
Yeah. Yep. You guys got two defensemen in your first two picks were defensemen, your middle two picks were centers, and then your last pick was a goalie.
Going for another Henrik Lundqvist.
Yep, way out there in the fifth round. All right,
I absolutely agree, unless you manage to pick yourself a Carey Price.
Well, and you're saying, and goalies are way easier to acquire once you know a little bit more about what they are. So I think that, you know, drafting goalies is kind of silly. I think you should always try to draft centers and defensemen.
Yeah. See, but are you guys in the mindset of when you go up, you should take the best player available or pick for the best player in a position you need?
I'm more of a BPA guy, but I almost never would pick a goalie in the first round.
Yeah. I am also of that. Whenever I do fantasy drafts or whatever, I always wait till the second or third rounds to start getting goalies because you're always going to have good goalies in those rounds.
And especially for fantasy too, right? Like a goalie can have an off year, like at Braden Holtby, or how many times did Cam Talbot get picked in the first round after he almost won the Vezina, right?
And listen, I would know a thing or two about fantasy because I am actually currently the reigning champion of last year's Stanley, Lord Stanley's jockstrap. So not a big deal.
I officially appealed the results, but technically I was turned down because apparently just calling Michael a bitch wasn't enough to get it overturned.
Yeah, all right,
facts don't always count. There's one small thing I want to say about BPA before we move on, and I feel like BPA is a little bit misleading. So when you're looking at the draft and you're looking at Central Scouting and some of the other scouting systems that are out there, I feel like if everybody was just going to pick BPA according to that, then you wouldn't need scouting staffs, right? You just wait for Central Scouting to come out. And when your turn came up, you just get the player that was there, right? I think you have to look at where your team is in its development cycle and where your strengths and weaknesses are. So the best player available for the New Jersey Devils isn't the best player available for the Edmonton Oilers.
Absolutely. That's a really good point. And another thing as well is all the teams, right? They're not going off of Bob McKenzie's draft list, right? They have their own one that they've made from their own scouts. And you end up hearing some pretty interesting things, like when Elias Pettersson was taken by the Vancouver Canucks, they were like, people talked to the Lightning about him, and they had him ranked as the third best player in the draft, when he ended up getting taken at, what, 20, I think?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And I think you actually kind of see that with the pick the Oilers had, because like you said, Cole Caulfield and all them were still available and they had their own scouting list and they went up and picked what they thought was the best player.
And then Caulfield went so much later in the draft, right? So
yeah.
And just because you see something doesn't mean like maybe something came out about him that became known to other like to internally, but not really talked about. Like maybe he had some weird injury.
A Fortnite addiction.
Right. The Patrick Laine disease. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I mean, also about Caulfield as well is that he's so small and he's not particularly quick either. Right. When you look at the small players that have success in the league, like Johnny Gaudreau or DeBrincat, they're faster players that can get themselves out of the jam. Right. But
yeah,
Caulfield doesn't have that, but he does have the sickest shot anybody's ever seen, so I kind of want him anyways.
Yeah. So then jumping to the Oilers then, their draft at pick number 8, they take the just absolutely so good looking Philip Broberg. Have you seen the abs on this kid?
He's giving a Klefbom a run for his money.
He is giving Klefbom a run for his money. The man has abs on top of abs.
Did the Oilers...
Okay, so this podcast just became too gay for me. I'm sorry.
I literally don't think that's possible, Chris.
True story.
Oh, man. But so I was originally down on the pick, but I went and watched some of his highlights, and it made me feel a little better.
Yeah. I mean, at the very... Like, there's some questions about his decision-making and his strength, which are... The decision-making one really worries me, because there's a lot of things you can train in hockey, and your mind is one that's kind of on the harder side, I would say.
Yeah.
But his skating, dude. Oh, my God.
Yes, and that was the biggest thing I noticed in all the highlight packs of him. Is like there'll be times like he'd pick up the puck up in like midway in the defensive zone and he'd look up the ice and be like, I think I'm just gonna take this to the net.
And then he's gone.
Yeah, which is nice because we need speed.
But at the same time, it also kind of worries me because it's like it almost feels like he's in the Darnell Nurse kind of build, where physically I think Nurse has like pretty much every tool he needs to be a number 1-2 defenseman. But I don't think he really has the brain to be one.
Yeah. But I will say, I think he's got better hands and a little bit more creative than Darnell Nurse.
Hopefully.
Then the pick that got me real excited and probably the one player that I am at least the most like, you know, because every draft comes around and at least in my opinion, there's like one player that we draft and I'm like, that kid's going to be a star, and I cannot wait to see him on the team. This year, it is one at 38th overall, second round, Raphael Lavoie. If you guys want to see some sick dangles, go watch out his highlight pack. The kid is big. He is 6'4". He has an unreal shot, great hands. He's strong and just, oh, boy. And he's got a cute little French accent, so that's a little plus.
He plays center, right?
He does play center, but he can play wing.
Excellent, excellent. I approve.
Yep. So, and I think he's not far off. I don't think he's far off. I think he's sort of in the Bouchard position. He's going to go back to juniors this season. He's going to put up like 400 points in 12 games. And then he's going to join the Condors for an AHL playoff. And then I think he's going to be really pushing for a spot in camp come next season. So I was super excited about Lavoie.
Just a pro tip for you there, Mike. Any center can play wing.
Pretty much, yeah. It's the other way around that causes some issues.
Winger is where you put the dopiest players.
Well, I'm a center who knows how to play wing, so that's cool.
I mean, like, the general rule is you put your smartest players, defensively at least, at center, and then your wingers can be just whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, I look forward to him scoring 50 on McDavid's wing, so.
Also, Nick. I was a center most of my hockey career. Just, you know, pat him on the back. It's all good.
I was also a center for most of my hockey career.
Oh, boy.
Look how smart I am, guys.
Then at 85th overall, they took someone who speaks no English, Ilya Konovalov. You won't find any highlights on YouTube other than, like, a weird cut-up of a game he played in once for the KHL. Anyway,
he's
KHL
a goalie,
rookie
right?
of the year. He is a goalie. He's 6 foot, speaks no English, but he was a KHL rookie of the year. He had like a 930 in the KHL. And so then the one really good video I found of him on YouTube, he was like watching him. First of all, he's really fast. He's a fantastic skater, and everything he's done is like super just like precise. Like he is post to post, across, making saves, like super, just like, not textbook, but like everything is like just his movements and stuff, like across the crease and stuff is just like perfect.
So he's more of a Carey Price, less of a Jonathan Quick.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think when it comes to shorter goalies, that's something you kind of have to make up for is positioning and reflexes. As opposed to when you're bigger, you can rely on a bit more just your size.
Right. The thing you kind of have to be cautious about is that the KHL's goaltenders in general tend to have a higher save percentage.
Yeah.
So it's something to watch for, but he definitely looks promising, and I'm kind of surprised he fell as far as he did.
Yeah, yes. Me too. And it's interesting that it just feels like we needed wingers, and we didn't really do anything to address that at all, but like we just filled like our pipeline with just like an overabundance of talent on goaltending and defense.
Well,
wingers are the easiest players to acquire.
Exactly. Yeah. Defensemen and centers have a lot of value in the NHL.
I can't believe I'm learning so much about hockey today.
Listen to us, young one.
Then at 100th overall, we took Matej Blumel, a left winger. Don't know much about him, playing the USHL. However, I will say, super cute story that I found out. The guy we drafted next at 162nd, Thomas Mazura, him and this Blumel kid are best friends. Like they were at like dinner, they were at like a barbecue together when they were drafted. They've known each other since they were little. They played like tennis together. Like they are like it's a bromance to the likes of which I have not seen in a long time, and I'm all here for it.
I hope they trade one of them.
No, I hope that one of them gets his first NHL goal with an assist from the other one.
That's a pretty high expectations for what is it, a fourth and a sixth rounder?
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I like it. I believe.
No. They're going to be the next Henrik and Daniel Sedin. And then I had 193rd overall. Really a lock to make the team out of camp is Maxime Denzkin from the NHL.
Ooh, another Russian.
Yep. Pretty good draft. I obviously am stoked about Lavoie. And from what I understand, Lavoie fell quite a bit. And so from what I heard, people are saying that the Oilers basically got two first-round picks for the price of only having one. So I was pretty happy with how the Oilers drafted.
Yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic. I didn't see any crazy trades at all on the draft day. So I'm disappointed in general with this year's draft.
I mean, then there was day two, which had a bunch. But I think there's something we should talk about is before the draft and the reason that the Jets were able to draft 20th overall is they traded Jakub Trouba to the New York Rangers in exchange for the pick and a defenseman, Neil Pionk.
And apparently this Neil Peel guy is actually he's pretty good. Something special.
Well, he had a pretty decent season with the Rangers as a rookie. He had a highlight reel goal against Montreal, which I still remember. He did like a cool little spinorama, and then he like geeked around everyone and back in forehand beat Carey Price. It was impressive. But more importantly, Chris, Trouba no longer Winnipeg Jet.
Thank Christ.
Yeah, man, you're going to have to return the jersey and everything.
No. Thank God, man. He's been wanting out for so long, and he's changed his story as to why over and over again. I mean, I'd have a lot more respect for the guy if he would have just been honest and said, I don't want to be in a small town in Canada.
Hey, his girlfriend's a doctor, don't you know?
Yeah, but that wasn't – so if you follow the history, and I'm not going to bore you guys with it too much, but if you follow the history of Jakub Trouba, the first time the rumors came out that he wanted to leave, it was because he didn't feel he was being utilized properly, which was more bullshit. So the story of why he wanted to leave has changed like four times. The fact of the matter is he's an American player. He wants to play in a high-profile market. He wants to monetize that, and you know that's what he's been pushing for. That also plays into the fact that he didn't go to Pittsburgh. There's a story behind that as well if you guys want to hear that.
I would love to hear it.
I'm all for it.
So first of all, I don't know if you guys know, but Jakub Trouba tried to launch the Jakub Trouba phone app on it a couple of years ago.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I would Google if that was you. But anyway, it was a horrible flop. And he thinks it's because he was in Winnipeg. But the fact of the matter is, nobody fucking cares about Jakub Trouba. And that's why it didn't. That's why it was no good. Anyway, I digress. So that leads to the whole thing where he wants to be in a really high profile U.S. market in order to kind of up his, I guess his, I don't even know what the word is for it. It's escaping me right now. But so the Jets actually had a deal that they were working out with Pittsburgh where they were going to get a far better return for Jakub Trouba. But basically, Kurt Overfart, his one of the worst agents in the history of the NHL, basically helped put the kibosh on that deal by telling Pittsburgh that there was no way that Jakub Trouba would sign an extension with Pittsburgh and that the only team that he wanted to go to was the New York Rangers. So this came out after the trade was made, and before that, all of Jets fandom and Twitterdom were basically raking Shovel Day off over the coals for making the deal, saying that he got jobbed and he got screwed over. Also saying stupid things like, oh, you know, we only got our first round pick back. And they were trying to discount that was any value because somehow that was tied into this deal, which is just ridiculous. They still got the 20th overall pick in the deal, right? So then there's also the return, which is Neil Pionk, which people all said, oh, Neil Pionk sucks. Look at his advanced stats. He sucks. Of course, neglecting the fact that that was his full rookie first full rookie season in the NHL. He was playing top 2 minutes on a fucking shitty team, and he still did really well. So I am very excited to see what Neil Pionk does.
Yeah. I don't know why people are hating on Pionk so much as well. Like I said, the highlights, and like you said, like, he was also a rookie, so it's hard to really use advanced stats, especially like as a rookie defenseman, and undersized rookie defenseman at that.
Yeah, and playing on a bad team like that and being a rookie, you're kind of expecting his advanced metrics to be pretty poor.
Mm-hmm.
People were expecting to get Connor McDavid for fucking Jacob Trouba. Like,
well, I mean,
they're
like,
idiots. I know that's an exaggeration, but you know what I mean, right?
Well, the Oilers would have to throw in a first as well. Don't be crazy.
The value is what the value is. And if people don't see this kid play 1 minute, they're already like starting to bash him. Like, yeah.
Sports fans, man. I looked at the app though. Apparently it's like he was replacing his social media with it, and it kind of looks like he's basically just going to be like live streaming his entire life to this app. I tried to look up to try and download it, and it no longer appears to exist.
Yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. So I was also trying to dive into it, and like the only really, like, I can't find links to it. I can't find screenshots of the app. I can't find anything. All I can find is just different NHL forums and discussion boards just shitting on it.
Yeah. I even found a link to it, but the link is now broken and it no longer exists.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're looking at the same thing.
So in summary, I actually think, especially considering the restrictions that Overhart and Trouba put on the deal, I feel like Sheveldayoff did a fantastic job. They got a player who is around the same age as Trouba, of course, much less NHL experience, but still a lot of potential. I think Pionk will end up being not quite as good defensively as Trouba, but I think that his offensive abilities are far more promising.
I agree with what you're saying. I feel like with the
oh no man,
I thought we were gonna do it. I thought it was good. I really thought we were gonna make it.
I mean, at least it didn't happen mid rant this time.
Yeah. Here, Dalton, I'm gonna say one word. It's gonna make you real sad. Are you ready?
Okay. Don't do it.
Puljujarvi.
No.
You wanna? Almost made it.
So close. Well, Chris, what would you trade for Puljujarvi right now?
Oh shit. He's hard. He's an enigma, right? He still has a lot of promise, but he just hasn't really shown it. But at the same time, in that environment, that's a difficult thing to do, right? Like, are you saying what would I, if I was the GM of the Winnipeg Jets, give you for Jesse Puljujarvi?
Yeah, let's say what's your opening offer?
Well, I would start with Sammy Niku.
Ooh, that'll make a lot of people mad right there.
Just
why?
Just one for one.
I don't know. A lot of Jets fans seem real high on Sammy Niku.
They are, but I think they are high on him because they've seen a lot of like the. Some of the things he does well, he's a really good passer. He's got really good vision. He was also a really low pick. So a really late pick, I should say. So I feel like, you know, people are really, they're actually expecting too much of him. I don't think he's ever going to be a top four defenseman because he's not necessarily quick. And his decision-making again is, I don't know if it's how far that's going to develop. So, but he's a good zone exit guy. So
it's pretty important. It's also kind of interesting. A low pick who really went past what he's supposed to be for a high pick who never became what he's supposed to be.
Right. And I think that for you guys, like for the Jets, I think we have a lot, like we have a lot of like middle low defensive depth right now. And I feel like that's where you guys really struggle right now. So that would make sense. And I think Sammy Niku could play for you next year. He could be a regular. And you know, Jesse Puljujärvi, I don't know, right? We've got Vesalainen. We've got who's ready potentially to come on board. I mean, maybe we have an all like finish line, although I don't think any of them are centers. We'd have to teach one how to play center.
Would you reunite Laine and Puljujärvi?
Oh yeah, 100%.
You gotta.
Yeah, that'd be
yeah.
And then you offer sheet Aho and you put together the finish line of destruction.
Oh my god, that would be such a sick line. Maybe Puljujärvi's gonna ever do anything, but
well, you never know. Here's the thing though, because one of the things you hear coming out of Edmonton is Puljujärvi feels kind of like alienated. He doesn't speak very much English, and like he doesn't have a lot of friends and that sort of thing. Whether that's the team's fault or his own lack of trying, who knows? But like, you reconnect him with like his friends that he played with for a couple of years up through like in different world tournaments and stuff like that. And right, he doesn't even have to, like at that point, he doesn't even need to learn English. You put him in his happy place next to Aho, which is an unreal two-way center. Line A, unreal goal scorer. Puljujärvi, I think he'd be just fine.
And you better hope to God it works out, because you don't have a first-round pick for the next 4 years.
Yeah, that is true.
Well, but you know Aho's going to be good regardless, right? Whether Puljujärvi falls on his face. I think that, you know, the Aho-Laine combination, I almost see that as a can't-fail situation.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to beat.
Yeah, there'd be like a lot of – you have to do some cap implications on that too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't think the Jets have anywhere near the amount of cap that would take right now. But I don't know, maybe after moving out Trouba they do.
Mm-hmm. No, we don't. We'd have to probably. I mean, I'm hoping we don't re-sign Tyler Myers. I really like Tyler Myers. He's pretty maligned amongst Jets fans, but I think it's because people expect every player to be perfect in every role they play, which is just not realistic, right? I just think that I've heard rumors that Myers is going to sign for like $7 or $8 million, and I want no fucking part of that. That is such a ridiculous overpay.
I've been hearing Vancouver's real hot on him.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope they take him. Oh my god, I hope they take him, because you know what? Anything Vancouver does to make them suck for longer is good in my books.
yeah.
Well, and who knows if Vancouver can even do that anymore with Roberto Luongo retiring. Now they have a $3 million cap hit for 3 years.
Yeah. That's such a good like little like parting FU to the Canucks for Luongo.
Oh, it's a shame. It's a shame that I really like Luongo. I'm kind of sad he's
gone. Dude, it's weird. It's because, like, I don't know, like, the guys that, like, right, that were, like legends when I was, like, a kid are, like, all, like, old and, like, retiring now. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, it's, like, just starting to begin. Like, Crosby and Ovechkin, like, they're not long for the league. Like, you know, like...
Yeah, the day that Sidney Crosby retires is the day that my actual childhood ends.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, and then you're looking at, like, all right, like, especially me being the youngest on the podcast, seeing the people getting drafted, and I'm, like, 2 years older than all of them. I'm just, like... Man, almost 3 years older than some of them. I'm just like, man, what am I doing?
Why am I not in the NHL?
That's what I'm asking, dude. I'm telling you. I am a pure goal scorer. All I do is score.
So this illustrates how much, like, obviously how much older I am than you guys. But I don't – obviously I've been through that in my kind of hockey-watching career, but – for me, the crazy thing was watching the children of NHL players I watched growing up now playing in the NHL.
Oh, like, yeah. I'm guessing DeBrusk is one for sure. But you weren't really ever an Oilers fan, right?
No, so well, so like Lowry's from Calgary. His dad played in Calgary, and he was drafted and plays for the Winnipeg Jets. Kachuk was, I mean, his dad played for the Jets, and he was born. I think he was born in Winnipeg. No, I think he maybe born in St. Louis. But anyway, and now Kachuk plays in Calgary. So it's kind of funny that those two are like reversed roles. Yeah, Domi's another one.
Yeah, Domi, Max Domi.
Yeah, it's a bunch of them, eh? Holy.
But yeah, genetic. So that's a weird thing.
Plus money. I'm old.
Okay, so here's a fun little game I just came up with. We'll play. Would you rather on your team, Jake DeBrusk or Louis DeBrusk?
That is the easiest question I've ever had to answer.
Wow.
It's Jake DeBrusk, in case you're wondering.
Yeah, I would also pick Jake DeBrusk. I have no need for 700 penalty minutes.
Well, I mean, like, if it was the time that Louis DeBrusk was actually playing, like, you know, 20 years ago, he has a lot more value than he would have today.
Still a fucking plug.
Yeah, I'm still picking, you know, Jake every single time, but...
Yeah.
Are you taking Max Domi or Ty Domi?
Max. Ty was a lot of fun to watch, though. Ty was, yeah, but no, Max.
See, obviously. That was just before my time.
I'll save you a question, Matthew Tkachuk.
Okay. So we're gonna go with Keith Tkachuk or Matthew Tkachuk.
Are you talking fat Keith Tkachuk or fit Keith Tkachuk?
I'm talking NHL Keith Tkachuk.
I take Keith Tkachuk.
I think you're actually insane. I'm taking Matthew.
I think you don't know because you didn't watch Keith Tkachuk play, so shut up.
I don't know anything about Keith Tkachuk at all. So.
So Keith Tkachuk played on the Olympic line in Winnipeg, which was Alex Zhamnov. Oh, my God. Watch his highlights. What a sick player. Timo Solani and Keith Tkachuk. And they were – so Solani obviously was a mega sniper. Alex Zhamnov was a wonderful puck handler, skater, and puck distributor. And Keith Tkachuk was a fucking bull in a China shop. That was like the Rantanen line now for Colorado in a way.
Yeah. Or yeah. What you would get if you reunited Laine, Aho, and Puljujärvi.
Maybe.
and teach Puljujärvi how to actually hit people.
Yeah. Okay, Keith Tkachuk, Brady Tkachuk.
It's Keith Tkachuk.
I mean, I'm going probably Keith Tkachuk on that one. Okay. I think Matthew is so much more of a player than Brady is.
100%.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. I feel like Brady Tkachuk like is a really good player, but I feel like he's almost overrated a little bit.
He's too young. For this discussion, I think we need to, like, probably wait 10 years, which, I mean, if we're still doing this podcast in 10 years, hello, future me. What's up?
Yeah. Well, boys, so what I was thinking is at this point, I mean, we've been talking for a little bit. We wrap it up. July 1st is right around the corner. We'll do another podcast next weekend. We'll talk about, you know, all the free agents that were signed and how, oh my God, the Oilers got Bobrovsky, Duchesne, and Panarin.
All for a 1-by-1.
Yep. And all that good stuff. So I think we'll do that next weekend. And then like, if need be, we can do maybe like one more podcast after that. And then we can take maybe a summer break. I actually need to freaking write some articles, so I'll use my downtime over the summer to do that. And
I'm gonna write an article about Jake Trouba and Neil Pionk, I think.
And I think you should write an article about why Keith Tkachuk is better than Matthew, so you could maybe actually convince me.
Easily. But I just want to say one thing about the draft, one thing about free agency. I think it's going to be really exciting this year for both Oilers fans and Jets fans. I think both teams are going to be quite active.
Yeah, I agree. I hope so, at least.
Yeah, me too.
There's some things that both teams need to clean up.
Yeah, I need some excitement, man. Just give it to me. Give me some trades.
So it wouldn't be the podcast without us doing some predictions at the very, very end. So we're going to keep it Oilers and Jets, obviously. I don't really want any predictions on big UFAs. I say we let them fall where they fall. But my first question to you guys is, Puljarvi, does he start next season with the Oilers?
No way.
My heart says maybe, but my brain says not a chance.
I'm saying yes, he does. Here we go.
I think you're going to lose this prediction contest immediately.
Yeah, I think you're letting your heart pick a little bit too much for you here, Michael.
Maybe a little bit. But the real prediction, though, is, so from the Oilers, who do you think is the big UFA or trade, maybe? What's the big thing that happens? Like, give me a prediction. Like, what do you think big thing Oilers do?
I think the biggest thing the Oilers do is sign Pierre Mrazek to a 2-year deal, and that'll be about it.
Interesting. Chris, what do you think?
I think the Oilers are going to pick up a top four defenseman.
Ooh. All right. You got any premonitions on who? Maybe a name?
Not even a clue.
All right.
Tyler Myers.
Don't do that.
For $8 million a year.
Hell yeah, dude. Give him, you know
eight
what?
Times eight.
Absolutely. They should give him a 1x10 this year so they can sign him to an 8x8 next year.
I'll have to duct tape his hips together by year three.
All right. I'm going to say biggest move the Oilers make this summer. Ooh. All right. Here we go. This is going to be, I don't know if it's Oilers sign Ryan DeZingle.
DeZingle?
Yeah. That's my guess.
Fast? You know, I wouldn't say no.
I think he's one of those. He's like a high end option that we can get for under 6.5.
I'm hoping it's a little bit lower than that too. Oh, honestly, because if you're gonna sign him to a 6.5, that means that either Sekera, Russell, or somehow in some weird way, Lucic.
Oh, Russell's gone.
I hope.
And we can talk about Lucic later because oh god.
I hope Sekera doesn't get traded.
Yeah, I hope so too. Okay, big thing Jets. Big thing that the Jets are gonna do. Chris, I'll start with you.
Well, they're gonna have to address their top four D. So I just don't think that they're gonna re-sign Tyler Myers, and that leaves some pretty big holes. So I think that they're gonna find a top four defenseman, much like the Oilers.
I think that the Jets are realizing that defense just doesn't matter in the NHL. It's just dumb. Like, who plays defense? And they're gonna go offer Sheet Marner.
Oh, we don't have the cap for that, but man,
no. See, the no defense thing, they're trading away Bofuglin.
Oh my god, why? We don't want to be the Oilers, okay?
I am going to say Jets. What do the Jets do? They signed Brassois, so they don't need a backup. They've got Hellebuck forever. On another note, Oilers are definitely signing Brandon Tanev. For sure.
That's a no for me.
Why? He's a fantastic player. That's something the Oilers are missing, man.
Yeah, but I don't want to pay him.
Yeah, nobody does, but you know, he's going to get $3 million a year. He's great, man. He's a great penalty killer. If you watch him for an entire season, the guy never stops. There's no taking nights off or taking shifts off for him. He's pushing all the time. He finishes all of his checks all the time. He causes a lot of like confusion in the opposition's defensive zone. A lot of mistakes by their defensemen. You'd love them.
You know what, Chris? You convinced me. I'm taking Brandon Tanev over Matthew Tkachuk.
Okay. So, big move that the Jets make. Jets offer sheet Braden Point.
Oh. So apparently the Jets are going to have no picks. I like it.
Nope. But man, they're going to have a good offense though.
I honestly, here's maybe a little controversial opinion. I'd rather have Braden Point than Mitch Marner.
I would really? Sell because Braden Point's going to cost less money.
Even if they cost the same, dude, I'd rather have Braden Point. I think his two-way game is so far ahead of Marner's that what he lacks in offense compared to him, he more than makes up for.
Like that's a bit of a hot take. I gotta tell you, pal.
Dude, 5 years from now, you're going to be talking about it, and like Point's going to be Bergeron.
See, I can see it. I can totally see it. But over Marner?
Yeah, no. Marner's special, man. I don't know.
He's sick. And, like, this is a little hot take even to me, but, like, I firmly believe this to be true.
Dalton, didn't you predict Carey Price to win the Hart?
And the Vezina, yes.
Right.
I also predicted the Canadians would make the playoffs. And if they would have, he would have won the Hart and the Vezina.
That's a good point. That's a good point, boys. All right, well, this podcast has gone on long enough, and man, it's good to have the train wreck back together.
Yeah, I really – I miss doing this, man. This is fun times.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
So promise me, guys, that very soon we'll actually get together and do this podcast in person.
I feel like I'm the go big – GoFundMe. Yeah, I'll set one up.
GoFundMe.
Yeah. So, boys, that does it for episode 27. We are back, at least for the next 2 weeks, South of the Blue Line. If you don't remember, we have a website, southoftheblueline.com. There are articles on there sometimes when we get around to writing things. There, we have a Twitter account, which is a lot of fun, at Blue Line South. You can follow us anywhere you listen to the podcasts. We are there. That is it from me. And I will talk to you boys next weekend.
Peace out, boys.
See ya.
Bye, guys.